Hello, 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 Heather. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was jamming to your intro music there.
I'm glad. I mean, people do seem to like that. I don't actually like rock music. I can't stand it. I'm like a lo-fi, chilled out. In my spare time, I listen to like Chinese bamboo music. So I have no idea why I chose that. I think bald-headed tattoos and a beard. And I thought, I'm going to pretend like I'm some sort of cool guy, but I'm truly not. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Like, you've been in my diary for a while now, and I've been waiting to get you on. And like I said, you've just been the highlight of the day to record this. So I'm super excited to have you on.
Oh, thanks so much for the invite.
Absolutely. I mean, after having Tom on, it's no, I haven't done it out. You know, I haven't done it just because Tom's been on. But absolutely, like, I love your stuff. So for my people watching this or listening to this who don't know who you are, which I mean, they'll be quite shocked if they don't, considering that the community that we're all in is the same people. Just for a bit of a background, who is Heather Ramirez?
Yeah, so I started documenting my journey in 2016 on YouTube to start a business. I had no idea how to start a business. At the time, I was working in marketing. And long story short, I basically saw a need for digital literacy, because I was working with kids. I was working at a middle school and a high school at the time. And there was just this disparity between, oh my gosh, the internet is dangerous, get off your phones, like the kids are addicted to these screens. And then me, who was doing the marketing for the school, and I was like, my entire career is off of this phone. So to tell the kids, get off of your phone, I understand where you're coming from, but there's a lot of positive and productive things that you can do with your phone. And so and when I came up with this concept of, I didn't come up with the concept of digital literacy, but when I discovered that there was a gap and I talked to more of the parents about it, they were like, oh yeah, we don't know how to use social media either. Like we don't know what we're doing. And that's kind of the interesting thing with, you know, content creation and social media and the internet and all of this stuff. It's still relatively new in terms of, you know, the grand scheme of things. So back then I was like, I want to start something to help people understand how they could leverage these tools and what it means to their life, their business, making new friends, discovering new hobbies, all of those things. I had no idea how to go about that. I didn't know what I was going to sell. I had no entrepreneurship experience. And so I was like, you know, this is going to be the craziest decision I've ever made. I will vlog it because I don't know where I'm going to end up. And now it's manifested into me being a YouTube coach. I'm passionate about helping other creators figure out how to share their stories and make an impact through the awesome platform that is YouTube. I met my husband, Tom, on YouTube. We have, you know, all these kinds of different podcasts and live streams, and we have a community now for YouTube content creators. So, you know, if you had asked me back then if I thought that this was going to be the finish line, oh man, I would have started way sooner. But yeah, it's a little bit about me.
I love that. So there's so many things in this show, just to unpack kind of content creators' journeys, what they've done. And something that's really interesting is this digital literacy. You're the first person I've interviewed where that came up. And it was when I was reading through your kind of bio and stuff you'd said, I was like, wow, this is really interesting, because I have seen that people do fear it a lot. And I think in my household, for example, my son, we're actually vegan. We're very kind of spiritual. We're very connected with nature and all this other stuff. But we also have this big idea of, me and my wife both talk about it. It's like this idea that he needs to understand the digital world. So I love what you've said there about with schools and stuff, because do you think there's a lot of fear with parents who didn't understand this tech and they're scared? And actually, they can't be scared of it because that's the world their kids. You know, it's like this. I don't know how you see it, because you sound like you're right on the front line, which is conversations we're having as parents right now.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. So back then, you know, 2016, it's crazy how far tech and the internet has come in the past 6 years. But back then, I was born in 1985, so I'm 36 years old, and I feel like I was born in the weird micro generation of millennials, that we lived in a world where there was no internet. That's where we grew up, and then we grew up alongside the internet. Now there's a very distinct difference between people who grew up in a world without the internet and have only known a world with the internet. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. One of the things that I see with this new generation is that I feel like they are very worldly. There's a lot more, you know, I want to say there's a lot more empathy. I know we could talk about how, like, you know, it's very polarizing and there's a lot of bad stuff on the internet. And I understand that, you know, it's, there's mental health issues and stuff like that. But to know that someone who doesn't look like you, doesn't live your lifestyle, like, you could be one click away from that person. You just have so much more exposure to all different kinds of cultures and lifestyles and, you know, people who make different choices and stuff like that. I think that is a huge, significant difference between people who are native, like digital natives. Like, this is the world they know. It's just, I don't know, smaller. And so to understand how to use these tools to create your own presence and you know, I mean, you could go all out and I'm going to start a YouTube channel, create content, but you could do something as simple as, hey, I'm going to update my LinkedIn profile so I can apply for college, you know, or get a job or something like that. To have no digital presence at all, I think is a huge disadvantage. Like, I think that you just have so much more leverage when you have a digital footprint that goes beyond a one-page resume.
Absolutely.
Did I answer your question?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I'm so interested in what you're, this is such an interesting topic that, and that obviously your background in it and your experience in it is really unique. Cause I think it's something that we don't talk about a lot and it gets a lot, I think social, digital, the kind of ecosystem of that kind of creator world and digital world gets such bad press a lot of the time.
Yes.
Because press are always looking for bad things. And I would love to say, mm-hmm. just to echo that, was that, you know, if this world didn't exist, every one of my people I connect with, nearly all of them are in the US. Nearly all of them are, you know, I'm an eccentric guy that didn't fit in. And the reality is,
exactly.
I do fit in, but I fit yep. in with Rob Balasabas in Canada. And I fit in with, you know, like, I don't fit in with the local people in my small village yep. where I grew up. And mm-hmm. that world, I couldn't imagine that not being there. And I look at that as a father now with the digital world going, wow, like, he can be whoever he wants.
Exactly.
He can be wherever he wants. And I think that's mm-hmm. an incredible world.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I met my husband, you
yeah.
know, and I think that's what's so cool. And it's a shame. I mean, this is kind of one of my, you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this, why I'm still doing this is because, like you said, the mainstream and the news really, you know, Mr. Beast, he's awesome, but yeah. totally not relatable to, like, the average creator. Or, you know, like the Paul.
Well, can you not spend $3.5 million on a video? No, have you not? Am I the only one that can do that then? Sorry, forgot about that.
And it's like, it's a shame because I feel like people look to them and think that's representative of, yeah. you know, let's see. So Tom and I built our online community for YouTube creators on a platform called Mighty Networks. They recently funded the largest study of independent creators, and one of their conclusions was that based on how they define a creator right now, I think there's the last statistic that came out about this was that there's 50 million creators in the US. And if you think about the way that they're defining it, it's actually upwards of 400 million. And like, and I think that's because you have someone, especially since the pandemic, people can just pick up their phone. They don't have to necessarily start a YouTube channel, but the access to be able to share whatever it is that you're interested in and learn about these things that, you know, you would not have access to just in the proximity of where you live. It's incredible.
Oh, hugely. YouTube yeah. has changed my life in regards to my education, but it's also something you say, she's so interesting about, like, having access. Normal TV now is completely boring. I don't watch any normal
yeah.
TV because, and I was saying this to someone before, I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I said, you know, why would I watch normal TV when I can watch a whole hour video about this one specific thing that no one cares about other than these super nerdy Star Wars people? But I would much rather watch that than an episode of Friends. And it's ridiculously
yep.
crazy how the world has gone that way.
Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, Tom was literally eating breakfast watching some, you know, deep dive on, like, the making and the history of a ride at Disneyland. Yeah. So like,
yeah.
Like, where else are you going to find that stuff?
But it's what people want. That's the difference.
Right. Yeah.
So I want to ask you something very random now, but I'm just because I was editing this and I was editing Tom's episode down for some shorts. And he said that you don't like pointing videos on TikTok. And I just wanted to kind of, like, he said, I said about how what it was, I'll give it context. I said that with podcasting, we were chatting podcasting, I said there's so much more to podcasting, which is a bit like we said about the Mr. Beast. That's why it's relevant. So there's so much more to podcasting than just being Joe Rogan for 4 hours. And actually, mm-hmm. there's so many other ways you can deliver it and all this. And sometimes those things, as much as they're great, can also cause some issues because that's what the larger community or the larger world see it as.
Yeah. Right.
And I said, just like TikTok is so much more than just listening to music and pointing at words on a screen, to which he then burst out laughing and said, my wife hates that. So I just want to know why you hate that.
So here's the thing with short form content. I'm still figuring it out. You know, I understand, like, this is where I feel like I'm almost being hypocritical, because I feel like I'm one of those parents, you know, back in the day who are like, the internet is dangerous. I feel like I've reached that point because I refuse to get on TikTok. I just, it's a lot from what I know. Okay. I understand that I haven't been on it, but from what I know and what I've seen, it seems like a lot of empty calories that you have to, you know, go through before you find the content that you really want to watch or that is meaningful and stuff like that. So I'm always going to be partial to long form content. But what I've noticed, whether it's on Reels or, you know, shorts or whatever, is that the trends come and go so fast. So when it comes to the pointing content, at that time it was like every single vertical short form content was just people pointing at text that would pop up wherever they would point, and like that was it. And it was just driving me crazy because it was like I couldn't scroll two pictures without the next thing being the scroll point. But then I haven't seen that since. Right. And that's what's so interesting about the short form, is that the trends come and go so fast. On YouTube, it's like, you know, I remember 2015, 2016 daily vlogging. Like, that stayed around for a while. But the pointing thing, like, no one does that anymore. I think you would be labeled as not cool if you still did that.
Oh, I better delete those videos. No, I'm joking. No, I'm with you though. To be honest, I actually did a lot of shorts. I built a TikTok channel. And do you know what? I was chatting with a YouTube creator, quite a big YouTube creator. I won't name them on here because in case I give them a bad name on this. I was just saying about it, and actually, I stopped and I removed them all from my channel because what I realized was they were growing my channel quick. I had this thing. You ever have this issue where, I don't know if you do this as a creator, when you go to a new place, I built a name in the UK as a podcaster. Like, I'm quite well known here in the UK, but I wanted to meet with people I actually cared about, which is what, like, and actually got me, as opposed to just think I'm a bit of a novelty. And YouTube seemed to be the place. It's the only place where it's like your tribe is there. You know, it's people like you and Tom, people that, like Nick and people like that. I'm like, okay. But then the ego kicks in and you're like, well, I've got one subscriber and these guys have got 800,000. But what was really hard was I found that like people, those creators didn't care. You know, they're like, I don't care, because we know you're good at this. We know you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But shorts was an easy way to hack that. And I realized that. I was like, oh, if I upload 5 shorts a day, I can do that. That's fine. That seems like a lot, but it's not if you know how to pump it out. I was like, mm-hmm. I can hack that. And I got like 850 subscribers in like a month. But it was pointless because you look at it and go, what's the point? And I think this is what was interesting when you said about empty calories, is I don't think short form content, when I look back at it, I'm still not sure where it is and where it goes. And I think that when I looked at my own consuming habits, I was like, I never watch short form content. Like, it's got to be at least half an hour for me to even look at it.
Exactly. And then, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that they spend a lot of time on TikTok, but they don't necessarily subscribe to the TikTok creator the way that they would, you know, subscribe. You watch one video from a YouTube channel, you look at their video library and you subscribe and you watch, you know, the future content. I'm not sure how, I don't think that works the same on TikTok. And I think, what is it called? What's his name? Zach King. Do you know Zach King?
Yeah.
So I think he's a master at short form content, which is where he started, because he started on Vine. But he just actually, you know what? Give me a second to look this up because
Let's see
I
if he's done
want
it.
it's worth it. Okay, so Jim Lauterbach, the GM of VidCon, he just put out a newsletter and he said that Zach gets 20 million weekly views on TikTok and that equals $61.
Yeah, doesn't shock me.
That to me is like, why would anyone like spend their time trying to figure it out? It's crazy.
That is a great thing to segue into because you talk about the business of being a content creator. And I love that because I do think that I think short form content just doesn't have any, there's no point right now with or before, but I'll put the cap on that one. But there is my conclusion I came to was why build something if you think it might happen when there is a tried, true and proven method that is still hugely untapped, that like YouTube has a monetization method. There is brands that are interested. There's a whole thing. So I think maybe sometimes that's not a good idea. And that was my conclusion. So I can put a bow on that one because I want to move into the idea of you talk about the business of being a content creator. What do you mean by that when you talk about this business of being a content creator?
So one of the things that fascinates me about content creation is that I feel like it's made entrepreneurship more accessible than it's ever been before. Because anybody, like you could literally build any kind of business and sell any kind of thing digitally, and everyone is one click away. The thing is that most people's introduction to content creation are these huge content creators, and they think that that's what it is. And then there's so much glamour and fame and fortune and just like crazy numbers that no one will ever wrap their head around. And they, of course, like if that's your introduction, that's what you think is a path to success. For me, it's, you know, it's just if you're trying to build a business off of making a living doing what you love, right? Creating content about jump roping or, you know, productivity or, I don't know, entrepreneurship or something like that. You don't need the huge fame and fortune crazy numbers in order to make a living creating content. I mean, that's the beauty of it now. Because of how these platforms have evolved, there's so many different ways to monetize. There's so many different features and tools. I mean, every platform is chasing creators to help them be successful on their platform. So I think it's easier now more than ever, but it's really getting people to understand that it's not the only, the path to success is not just trying to accumulate, you know, as many views and as many subscribers as possible. And if you approach it as a business and think of like, okay, who is my customer? What is the impact that I'm trying to make? What is the value that these people are willing to pay for? One of the cool things about how the content creation space has also evolved is that people are more willing to spend more money online, right? So I think like we're used to, okay, yeah, we'll donate, you know, you get 100,000 people to donate a dollar because, you know, a dollar is nothing compared to the one person, but you're still making a lot of money when you have, you know, a huge audience. Yeah. But you can flip that now to just get $1,000, you know, from 100 people. And if you are offering a $1,000 product that really transforms, you know, their life, their business, their, you know, helps them get closer to their goals, you have a full on business right there. And that's not, you know, that's 100 people. That is so much more approachable than 100,000 people. Like to this day, I don't know. I don't care to ever get 100,000 people to, you know, to like watch me. I'm cool. But like you said, it's the ego. You know, it's a lot of like, there's ego. There's, this is how I think it's got to be done. There's, you know, I see someone else who's doing something similar. I got to do it like them. So, you know, content creation is definitely hard. But to me, I think it's just, it's never been more accessible. And it's never been more simple. It's not easy, but it's, I think it's pretty straightforward.
I think that like this, that's so good. Like, I love you. This is great. I needed this at the end of the day. It's really good to chat to you. Something that's really interesting, a wake up thing I had, and I love what you've said there, which I was like going from my head when you said, I was like, oh, I remember this. And I remember being in a room full of, not room, digital room full of content. Like, it was when I was getting into the YouTube space starting. I started interviewing more YouTubers on here, and I was like, wow, I love you guys. This is the way. And it was Nick Nimmin who got me into it. And I was like, wow. You know, I was in this kind of group with them all, and they're talking about the idea of, I want to be a full-time content creator. And this is interesting. Like, I want to be this full-time content creator. That's the goal, full-time content creator. And I kept saying that for ages. Like, I'm going to be, I want to be it. And then I remember sitting with them and they were going through like, what do they make? It was all like closed in a Zoom call. What do they make? How much money do they charge? What is their turnover? What do they sell? And I left the call and I said to my wife, I said, I was the top 1% in that room. I had like no followers. I said, I am a full-time content. I didn't realize. And it was people like, you know, you look at people like Sean, it wasn't Sean Cannell, that, but it was big YouTubers. And I was like, wait a minute. Like I have a $5,000 product that I sell every month, like all the time. And I have a, and I was like, oh, what I'm doing it. And that was, you know, it was a really weird moment where you go, okay, one, I'm doing it. And two, it is brilliant, but it's not the most exciting thing. It's a job. Right. And actually when you realize, and that was a real wake up call of going, oh, okay, that's what it is. And it's, I think I love what you're saying there, cause it's so true. I think sometimes you see, and like, no subscribers on YouTube and a small podcast or big-ish podcast, but enough, you've got enough impact with the right people, it works. And I couldn't, what you're saying is so true.
So I had the same epiphany earlier this year, because this year was my 5th year anniversary on YouTube. And oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed to admit that. And I was trying to understand, like, why am I not proud of that? And I think it, I know this, is that I looked at my subscriber count and I was like, wow, I've been on YouTube 5 years. And my subscriber count is still relatively low, especially on the channel that I'm trying to grow. So I have a vlog channel and then I have a tutorial channel. I don't check my subscriber numbers anymore, so I can't tell you what it is off the top of my head. I think it's at like 4,000. And I was like, wow. So I've been hustling for 5 years and I'm only at 4,000 subscribers. And I just didn't want to do the celebration. I didn't want to tell anybody about it. But then it got me thinking, like, okay, I make a living doing what I love. I work with incredible people from all around the world. I've made new friends. I met my husband. I work on my own terms. Everything is flexible. I have so much fun doing what I'm doing. You know, our business is growing. What am I talking about? Like, if I were to go back to myself on day one and tell myself, like, this is where you're going to end up, that would be a dream come true. And so it was that same thing of like reframing, okay, success is not determined by the silver play button, damn it. Like, that doesn't mean that you've made it. You don't have to wait for that. And if your goal is to, you know, to make money on your terms, doing the thing that you're passionate about, that's like the goal, you know? And it took me a long time to realize it, but yeah, I did.
I think that's an open thing though. Like, cause you say, you know, you feel like you didn't know why you didn't want to celebrate it. And I get that. And I think that's really interesting, because I think creators, I love when people talk openly on the show, because it's not, we all feel like that, you know? So I don't know how, if you, you know, when I'm with clients who I'm consulting.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm like, it's not about the views. It's not about the followers. But then in the same breath, I'm in the same back of my mind, I'm going, I haven't got enough views. I haven't got enough downloads. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing. And I'm like, why? Yeah. And I think that you're so right. But then at the same time, like I watch your content. I've seen your content. I know a lot about your content and I love it, but it's very long. It's very long form, which is wonderful, because as I've just said, and this is what I think you say, it might not be a massive amount of people subscribed, but the people who do really care
there.
Mm-hmm. Hugely. Yeah. And you're the type of channel, I've spoke to a few people about this. You're the type of channel that is like my type of channel, because I have no interest in, I have a thing of like, if the video is under half an hour, I'm just not even watching it. Like, and so when I see people who are doing an hour and a half, 2 hours, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think, but those type of channels naturally are smaller. And I think that I get what you mean with it, because it's hard, because it's like measuring apples to oranges sometimes. And I think it's tough.
That, and I think the other thing that makes it tough is that, you know, not only is the news and mainstream talking about like, wow, these, you know, these huge YouTube creators, but YouTube itself is designed to get you to think that you have to get more views and that's the way to success. And, you know, I obviously understand why they do that, but I think the independent full-time creator of today, hopefully, if you listen to this, Like, it should be on your own terms. And instead of you working for YouTube, YouTube should work for you. And I still believe to this day that YouTube is the best platform for discovery, for building a community, for, you know, finding the right people. It's tricky to figure out, but once you do it, I mean, literally I have videos from 2016 that are still getting watched and bringing new subscribers to my channel to this day. So that's why, you know, I can make a living off of 4,000 subscribers. I don't think that you can see that same impact on something like a TikTok. You know, like I said, I haven't downloaded TikTok, but
but we're just gonna slam TikTok for the next hour. No.
But yeah, I think like just you know, every platform has monetization options at this point. Figure out the tech stack that works for what you're trying to do. Yeah. Don't just rely on YouTube AdSense and memberships on YouTube. You know, definitely diversify your income, and it really is experimentation. And that's the thing. Not everyone has the patience. Not everyone wants to, you know, in a fast-paced digital world, it's hard to, you know, have the patience to try something, to tweak something, wait for the data to see if it's actually working, and then adjusting accordingly. That's a, you know, it's a mental, you really have to have kind of like a resolve and a resilience to be patient with it. But it worked. You could do it though. You could totally do it. Anybody can do it. There's data of anybody, any age, any race, any background. You don't need a college degree. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
It's really interesting that you say about YouTube. So I started this podcast. I mean, some of the episodes, there's a lot more episodes than are actually available because I didn't understand about copyright strikes. And that's a wonderful thing. So there's so many more episodes that are no longer available because someone said the audio was not, it was royalty free and it was not 59 episodes in. So that was wonderful. But as in, and available on anything. But the reason why I say it though is I've interviewed, this show is originally called Personal Branding Secrets. And I interviewed tons of people over in the UK. But one thing I started to notice, which was a common theme, and this is what you say there about YouTube, is that it started off, because I actually originally started as a LinkedIn influencer. I hate LinkedIn now, but originally that's where I started in a finance background, creating content for LinkedIn. And I started realizing the more and more I interviewed YouTubers, just how, not wrong, but how wrong I had actually been, really, that YouTube was the only place that I could see people building really sustainable businesses that were growing with compounded interest, as opposed to social media, which was always constantly like a treadmill. It was like the decay rate was so high. And I remember like having this kind of 6 month, it was a real bit of a bad time in a good way, but like of like interviewing people like Nick, Nimin, OwenVideo, all those guys, and going, oh my gosh, what have I done? Like, what have I done? Why have I spent the last 5 years like doing this? But one thing that I realized, and then I'd look at YouTube and I'd go, well, and then this is the thing I love about YouTube as well, is then I looked at it and I'd go, okay, so I understand how all this stuff works, but the thing that separate, and then there's people like you, probably like yourself, you'll see people and you're like, you're way further ahead of me, but my technical understanding and is much, much, much higher, but it's time. And that was the first thing. There was like no way of fast tracking it.
Yeah.
And it's a real kind of like humble ego check. And the one thing where I learned it was my wife planted a tree. She's big into like allotments and stuff. She planted this tree. This is where it clicked. She planted this tree and she said, okay, so that, and we were chatting. She said, oh, it won't bear fruit for 5 years. And you know, when someone says something random, I was like,
love that.
Oh my gosh, that's YouTube. That's what this is. This is the tree and I need to plant it.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, and I wish she needs to tell everybody that who's on YouTube too. Cause that's a beautiful thing. Cause here's the thing, like if you start a business around the thing that you love, that brings you joy and where you're making an impact, it's fulfilling in a way that, like, you know, I challenge most 9-to-5s wouldn't be. And you get it to a point where it works. You will be doing that for the rest of your life. You know, that 5 years to get it to where it needs to be to sustain and scale is just going to be a blip compared to, you know, the whole thing. So yeah, it's tough. But man, I'm just so thankful that this is what my life is, you know, and it was so freaking hard. Like, my parents were against it. I didn't know any in 2016 for sure. Like, there wasn't even this, right? There wasn't even like, hey, let me jump on a podcast and like talk shop with somebody. There wasn't this, or there was just so many less resources compared to now. So, you know, even if someone is listening to this, they haven't gotten started, or they're still feeling like they're so far behind, like, man, don't even worry about that. Just go, because it's still so untapped in the grand scheme of things.
What was that moment like for you? Like, I'd love to know a little bit more about that. Like, when you made that decision, 2016, you know, you're gonna go in as a content creator. This is the shift. What I'd love to know, what was the thing? Like, you said a little bit about it at the beginning, but what was that kind of the moment where you're like, I have to do this? There's like that defining moment where it's like, this is. And then what was it like once you took that leap? Because I think people who listen to this, either they've made that leap or they're waiting and they're thinking, what's the sign? What for you, what was it like?
So for me, you know, it's really interesting to think back on, because my whole life, my influences, the people that I looked up to, or the all of the people that I was trained to be like, this is what success was, I was not interested in doing any of those for a career. But I just thought a job is supposed to suck. Like, that's what you're getting paid to do, is to just do something that, you know, is kind of enjoyable or something that you're kind of good at and whatever, right? You get the paycheck, and then that's the time where you can really do the things that you're passionate about. But back then, two students introduced me at the school I was working at to Casey Neistat, who was daily vlogging at the time. And this was a guy who was not a gamer, was not doing pranks, was not doing the crazy novel outrageous content that I feel like was very, you know, dominant at the time. This was a father. This was a business owner. Yeah, he was cool and on a skateboard and stuff, but he was someone that I really felt like I could look up to and could inspire me in a way that related to my values and what I wanted to try to, you know, do with my life. And he connected me to Gary Vaynerchuk. So between those two guys, man, they just made it seem so accessible. Anybody could do this. Anybody could do this. And I just thought, like, okay, if anybody could do this, what do I have that's like better than average? I have the tech skills, I have marketing skills, I have personal branding skills, like, you know, I have community, just leveraging a community. Like, I did all that throughout college and in my 10-year career in marketing. And I was like, there's no way I'm gonna fail at this, right? And as soon as I had that thought, I was like, the biggest regret I would have is if I didn't try. Like, straight up. I don't even care if it fails, but just knowing that I would let this chance slip me by, that's the thing where I would be like, you know, I could look, you know, forward in 5 years and be like, I should have done it. And I'm so glad that I did. And, you know, like I said, it was really hard because all my peers were getting married, buying houses, getting promoted, buying new cars, you know, having kids. My parents were like, what, you know, they immigrated here from the Philippines for me to be a doctor. And I threw all that away and was like, I'm going to go do this YouTube thing. So it was really, you know, there was a lot of, feeling like I was doing something wrong, especially since my environment, the people that were in my life at the time, were just enforcing that. Like, what the hell are you doing? But geez, every time I uploaded a video, every time I watched a YouTube video that was like truly something that, you know, it was like finding a book that ends up being your favorite book and you hadn't discovered it until that point. That was YouTube for me. It was like, where have all these people been my whole life? Like, I would just be... It's like a totally different, you know, it's just a different vibe of possibility and potential and all those things. And I feel like, you know, I described it to one of my mentors at the time. It was like waking up from the matrix. Like, I just felt like I was being told how to think and what success was and all of that. And for the first time, I felt so empowered to be like, no, this is how I want to do it. And I don't even care if it looks like that. I just want to do it my way. And I had to stop talking to my parents for a couple months, which was really sad. I actually spent Christmas of 2016 alone at a co-working space because my family and I just, like, that was like the tipping point. They were obviously left on Christmas Eve and was like, you know, this is just, we can't be in the same room, because all they keep telling me is like, you have to go back and get a job. Like, why would you throw away your career? Now, thank goodness, they're my biggest fans. You know, they always tell me about Tom's videos. Did you see Tom's video? I saw your video, all these things. I haven't seen you live stream lately. So thankfully, you know, of course, now that it's like successful, they're like, oh, we knew you could do it. but yeah, so it was tough, but it's, I mean, best decision I've ever made. And, you know, if you don't know this part, my husband was also the same, just like, you know, I'm going to be a teacher for the rest of my life. And earlier this year made the decision to go full-time content creator, and has also had a very, you know, similar experience of like, never look back. This is the best, like wouldn't have it any other way. So
I think it's really important to share that story, because like it's a couple, there's so many things that so many people can relate to, because it's one of those stories. My background was in performing arts. So over here, cool. you have Broadway over there, but we have West End. So I'm from that.
How cool.
And so is my wife. My wife is a professional ballet dancer. So, and it's really interesting when you talk about that, because there's this story of like, you know, you've trained to do something your entire life. And then when we left that, it was very like, okay, well, we've got to get a normal job because you've given up on a dream, but we're going to go and do this. And it's really interesting the way you talk about the stuff, because the that idea, I think lots of people can relate to the story you're talking about. This idea of like, I'm going to go and try something new. And if, you know, I know with a big moment for one of the things I had was, and I love the story you're saying, was that I remember sitting, I worked in corporate finance, and I remember sitting opposite my boss and they were doing like a one-to-one. At that point, I was making content, but like I've always made content because I was a performer. I've always, like, right, when I look back, my first YouTube channel, I was uploading in like 2007. Like I was a breakdancer. I was uploading breakdancing videos.
And, how cool.
I know, like that. Back in the day. And so I've always been in it, back editing on Windows Movie Maker, you know. But I remember sitting looking at my boss and, you know, thinking, if I work really, really, really hard, one day I could be you. And that was the most there was two things that happened.
That was
the first one. You know, like, and that's why I love hearing that story, because it's so interesting. That was the first thing. And I was like, oh my God, like, is that what I'm trying to be? And right. Then what happened was my dad retired. My dad's very straight laced finance guy, does all of that. My dad retired at 60, you know, lucky enough to retire at 60, worked his entire life. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming in and seeing him, and he was standing, he's got a big house in Cambridge here in the UK, and like, all lovely and very nice and very well for himself. And I was like, okay, cool. And to me, he was always the pinnacle of success. He was one of the reasons I was like, I had to leave performing arts, not because of him, but because I was like, I'll never be able to achieve what he's achieved. You know, these weird things you have in your head.
Sure.
And I remember walking in and seeing him, he was sanding a door down, some random, I remember it. And he's standing this door, and I hadn't seen him for a couple of weeks. And he'd grown a beard, and he was wearing like these like very odd clothes I'd never seen before, like hippie clothes. And he was growing his hair out. And I remember chatting to him, and I was like, oh, he said, oh, well, I've never been able to do it before, so I'm growing it out. And you know, it was really weird, because I went home to my wife and I went, my dad has worked for 60 years and has never been able to be who he wants to be. We need to change something here, because that's where I love that story you're saying there, because I think there's so many people, whenever I talk about that with people, and whenever you people share that story, everyone else listening, they're like, I feel like that way. We feel it's us, but everyone I think feels the same way, that they're trapped in like this cage that they can't get out of. And people like you and Tom, and you know, the people that have been on the show, it's that's why I like interviewing you, is one, to for people to know it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a glowing example of it, you know, a huge example of it. So I love that.
Yeah. It's funny, because I think it's this generational shift. You know, I'd be very curious for this next generation that has only known a world with the internet, how they would feel about this. You know, I'm sure it's come with its own whole set of problems that I can't understand. Like, I can't imagine being like a middle schooler and having social media. I think that is crazy. But yeah, I think, you know, it's almost like we haven't been able to be who we are in real life. So to be able to figure that out on YouTube or through your content, that's why it takes so long. It's not just, hey, how do you make a video? What camera do I need? you need to figure out like what your voice is and, you know, what you even stand for and how to express that. And, you know, that's why it takes so long. It's not just, you know, how do I build an audience, build a community? But it's, I think there is a lot of like, how do I even express my unique ideas into this medium and this platform? Because you haven't done it your whole life. Yeah. You know, it's like well, for me, I'll speak for myself. I was being told what to do. This is what's important. This is what your assignment is. This is, you know, this is what we all need to do as a team and all that. And so to make those decisions for yourself, it's, you know, it's not something that I could do overnight. I had to experiment and kind of, you know, embrace the process.
Absolutely. No, I love it. I think it's so important as well, because as you say about becoming you, because it's like a character. I always say to people all the time, like, it's like peeling layers off. I you know, like I it's so silly. I said, because I'm covered in tattoos, like head to toe. I've got, as in like, you can't really see them here, but I've got body suits. I've got 170 odd hours all in all. Yeah, like there's literally like a Japanese bodysuit. And I remember someone saying to me, like, why'd you do it? And I was like, because when I look in the mirror, I finally recognize the person looking back. Like, it's a weird feeling of discovering who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's something that, one thing I say to people about content, and it's interesting to hear your take on this. One thing that content has done for me, I make daily content. I always have done. I've never missed a day in like since 2018. And it was because there was like something in your head that went, like, this is a creative outlet that I have needed. And it's like diary now. It's like just making a diary. If I don't create something, I feel like I'm losing something. And it's really weird. And I think all of that has been a journey of discovery. What I did in that very first video is not the same. I'm not the same. My beliefs are not the same. My entire like values of the way I raise myself, everything has changed. And it all started by picking up a camera and going, hi guys, I'm going to teach you how to buy a house. You know, and it's so weird how, and I think probably the same with, you know, with you, it's like, I'm going to be teach people how to be that literate. It's about stepping in front of it instead of, you know, figuring out as you go along. So I don't know if you've had a similar experience to that, but I know that's definitely been for me. That's the
way. Well, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people that I meet, especially locally, because I'm super involved with the business community here, and they'll find my YouTube channel and they'll be like, wow, you're so comfortable on camera. Like that, that's not a natural thing. You know, that is years of just putting in the work. And I don't think it's a camera confidence. It's a confidence in what you're trying to express, right? It's like a confidence in yourself. So yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's a skill as well. And that's something I've also noticed as well with camera confidence. My wife, both of us being in performing arts, she was like, I'm sure you've seen this. She's like, until you can have the fanciest edited video in the world, but if you're not confident or know how to hold an audience in some way or another, which is a really hard skill to learn, then it's all a waste of time. Like a lot of the time you've got, that's such an important thing, is to be able to engage. And I think the best way, she was saying all the time, she's like, I'm not bothered about the gear or the stuff. Like, that's now with me. You and Tom, you have so much cool gear and everything's wicked.
Well, but that's like... funny. Well, Tom is like, he's a huge gearhead, you know? I mean, he just bought a new camera yesterday. Some of my most popular videos were done on a Canon S110, which is the camera they don't even make anymore. It was just the point and shoot that was in my closet. You know, it was the camera that I had, and eventually I, you know, started using my phone, and I don't even know when I got like my first camera. I used the S110 for so long, for at least 3 years. And, you know, Tom and I talk about this all the time. I'm not saying that gear doesn't matter, but it definitely shouldn't hold you back in terms of like, you know, if you think the camera is what's going to make your content better, I think you'd be surprised. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, I think you can make some of the best videos ever without that. I mean, gear does make it, but you're right, though. Gear
makes a difference for sure.
Hugely. Yeah. Like from a reduction of friction is one of the biggest things I find. Like, you know, if you can have those things, like the workflow and the process and the gear itself, like the A10 minis and all that stuff, they make a huge difference in lives. When you're a big live streamer, like, I think gear matters on lives a lot more than it loves on anything else. Like, that's a big thing, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the time. We can chat forever. I want to make sure that we round it up. So Heather, if people want to connect with you, they want to learn more about you, they want to follow you, they want to work with you, where's the best place for them to go?
Probably on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Heather Ramirez. But if you want to catch the live stream show that me and Tom do, we have the couples table actually today. It's every Thursday.
That's 1 good PM that you remembered.
Yeah. That's over at my vlog channel, youtube.com/Heather just create.
Love it. Heather, thanks so much. Any like parting words before we run the outro?
So the reason why I named my brand Heather Just Create is because it's a note to myself. Every time someone introduces me, talks to me about my YouTube channel, I have to tell them about my YouTube channel. I literally tell myself, Heather, just create. And every single time that I have created, it's like going to the gym. You never regret a workout. I've never regretted creating content. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's frustrating. But every single time I put the camera down, I'm like, oh, that was so much fun. So just do it. Just create.
I absolutely love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.